Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, in your Bibles, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody asked me if my mic was on. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you for asking. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Glory be to God. These are those days. This is that of which the prophet Joel spoke by the Spirit of God. Signs in the heavens above and wonders in the earth beneath. Amen? We're living in those days. We're living in those days, and that's why we're teaching on miracles every Sunday through the end of the year. Amen? My Lord, we've been going at it for 3 months, have we? Almost 3 months teaching on the subject of miracles. We haven't put a dent in what the Lord has given me on the subject of miracles. We're just scratching the surface. We've just been laying groundwork. Amen? But it even still, it's been good. We haven't even really got into many of the miracles of the Bible. We just talked about qualifying for the miraculous. Amen? Hallelujah. Have to qualify. Amen? You have to qualify. Have to meet the conditions. So ge perando se ke perende. And we're talking on Wednesday nights about the subject of mountain moving love. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. Faith works by love. And faith is released through the mouth. Amen? Without mountain moving love, we cannot experience mountain moving miracles. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. That's all it is to walk in love. That's what walking in the Spirit is. It's not memorizing hundreds of verses of Scripture and being able to quote them on command or demand. It's walking in love. Now, memorizing Scripture is a good thing. Walking in the Spirit, if you would say that, walking in the Spirit is walking in love. It's so simple, even I can understand it. Amen? How we treat our enemies has a lot to do with getting our prayers answered. Right here, you know, the very first mention that Jesus made of prayer in the Bible, we're going to read right here. This is the very first time Jesus opened his mouth and used the word pray or prayer, mentioned prayer in the Bible. Very first time. Does anybody in here know what Jesus' first words in the Bible are, aside from prayer? His very first words? First time we hear Jesus speak in the Bible is when he said, I must be about my Father's business. It's the first thing he opened his mouth and spoke that was recorded in Scripture. This is the first thing that Jesus said about prayer. And if only he hadn't have said it, we'd all have it made in prayer. But he said it, and we have to deal with it. Look at what he said in verse 43. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbors and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, Jesus. If only he hadn't have said it, we'd all have it made in prayer. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray, there it is, for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Look at that. He's talking about rewards again. There's a reward for loving people. Do not even the publicans do the same? Even the publicans love one another. There's no reward for just loving people who love you. We have to love people who don't love us. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect. Now that word is not perfect, perfect like Jesus is perfect. That word is mature or of age. Be grown up. even as your Father, which is in heaven, is grown up and mature. I shared with you earlier from Ephesians 5:1, the Bible says, as children of God, be imitators of Him thereof. Hallelujah. You know, all the Jews ever heard before Jesus came about their enemies was that they were to hate them. That was the rule of the house. That's what the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the law, that's what it taught them. In Exodus 21, Deuteronomy chapter 7, Leviticus chapter 17, they were told to hate and to detest and persecute their enemies. That's what God taught them to do. That's all they knew. Now, why would God tell them to do that? Because He was setting them apart as a nation, preserving them as a nation. He didn't want them running with their enemies and covenanting with their enemies and becoming like their enemies. He was trying to, and He did so successfully, preserve the righteous seed of Jesus. But now Jesus is here, and now God's doing a new thing. Isaiah prophesied it. In Isaiah 49:13, behold, I do a new thing, saith the Lord. People take that Isaiah 43 out of context today and say, God's doing a new thing today. And they use Isaiah 49:13. And God's not doing a new thing today. The New Testament standard is for the age of grace right now today. The book of Acts is still the blueprint for the church today. And God is not doing a new thing. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? God is not doing a new thing. He's still doing the same thing He was doing when Jesus walked on the earth. Amen? The New Testament standard for the age of grace and the church of Jesus Christ has not changed. There's one group here on Cape Cod. They keep crying out, God's doing a new thing, doing a new thing. And they use an Isaiah 49:13 out of context. When Isaiah prophesied God was about to do a new thing, he was prophesying that Jesus was soon to come and instruct Israel that they were no longer to hate their enemies, no longer to hate their neighbors. They only did that to preserve themselves as a nation and to preserve the seed of Jesus. Now Jesus is here, so he's saying you don't have to hate your enemies anymore. You don't have to separate yourself from them anymore, but you need to love them now. And they're like, what is this, a flower child from San Francisco? Who is this weirdo telling us after centuries of the Scripture telling us to hate our neighbors? This man comes and says that he's God in the flesh, and now he tells us to love our enemies? All they knew was hate their enemies. They didn't even have Bibles. Their books of the law were written on scrolls called the Torah, and they were kept in a cabinet in the synagogue, and that was read to them by the rabbis, or whoever the rabbi chose to read on the Sabbath. They couldn't go study the Scripture for themselves. They had to have it read to them. Amen? And this is a brand spanking new thought from this man who called himself a rabbi. Amen? Here he comes preaching the royal law of love, and it completely stirred the Jews. They thought Jesus was nuts. As I said, some sort of a flower child. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't blame them. Their human spirits hadn't been recreated in Christ yet. They weren't born again. They couldn't understand the royal law of love like you can. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things are new, and all things are of God. They weren't new creations. They weren't capable of understanding the royal law of love. Jesus was just introducing it to them for the first time. And it took quite some time for Him to get it over to them. They couldn't understand that the new creation has the love of God shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost who's given, Romans 5:5. Love your enemies? Like I said, they figured he's just some sort of a nut initially, some sort of a flower child. Look at verse 48, where he said, again, I want to look at that for a second. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven perfect. someone said to me, more than one person has said this to me over the past nearly three decades of being a born-again believer. Well, Pastor, I just can't be perfect. God's being unreasonable, commanding that I be perfect. I can't be perfect. God, as I said, God's not talking about being perfect, perfect like Jesus is perfect. The word is mature. Be mature, even as your Father is mature. Amen? He's telling us to grow up and mature in our love walk if we want to see the supernatural occur in our lives. Amen? The love realm is the supernatural realm. Walking in the Spirit is what? It's walking in love. I've said that to you repeatedly over the past 7 weeks of Wednesday night sessions here, as we've been talking about mountain moving love, divine love. Amen? Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. If we're ever going to become mature in our love walk, we're going to have to start loving not just people who love us, but loving our enemies as well. If only he hadn't said that, we'd all have it made in prayer. Amen? Listen, any baby Christian can love people who love them. It takes a mature Christian to love and to pray for their enemies. How do I love my enemies? Well, you start out by treating them with dignity and respect. That's a good starting point right there. You treat them with the same... You know, all human beings have dignity. All human life is worthy of respect. It comes from God. Life comes from God. And when we're disrespectful to His creation, we're disrespectful to God. We start out loving our enemies by being respectful to them and treating them with dignity even when they treat us with contempt. I'm not saying we have to lay down and be a doormat. That's not what Jesus taught. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke 17, 3 and 4, He said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, restore him. We have the right to stand up to people when they wrong us. But we must do it with dignity, and we must do it with respect. But we can tell people when they're wrong. It's not a sin to be angry when people wrong us. Anger is not sinful. The Bible says God is angry at the wicked every day. He doesn't get mad at his children, angry with his family. He's angry with the wicked because they insist on rejecting his means of escape from a devil's hell through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gets angry when people reject his means of escaping a devil's hell. When they reject Jesus, his means of escape, it makes him angry because he loves people. It's not sinful to be angry when people wrong you. Paul said, be angry, but sin not. Don't let it get you into sin. If it was a sin to be angry, then God's a sinner. We better find another God. Jesus got angry in the synagogue when the synagogue rulers, leaders, rabbis, teachers, doctors of law, whoever they were there that day, there was a man with a withered hand, and Jesus said, stretch forth your hand to be healed. And they became infuriated that he was going to heal on the Sabbath, and the Bible says he became angry. He became indignant at their religiosity. They cared more about the Sabbath than they did about a human being. When Jesus said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath was made for man. He became angry. Now, Jesus never sinned. He's a perfect man. Fully God, fully man, but he never sinned. Do you believe that he never sinned? Well, he became angry when they wouldn't let him heal. And he said to the man, regardless, stretch forth your hand, and he healed the man instantly. Anger shows people your boundaries. Anger is a God-given emotion. We're created in God's image and in God's likeness. There's nothing wrong with being angry. And telling people, oh, whoa, whoa, hold it right there. You're crossing the line with me here now. You're either going to treat me with dignity and respect, or I'm going to rebuke you, because Jesus told me to. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. It's not a crutch. It takes big guts to serve a big God and to do it according to the Bible. Most people hate confrontation. I despise it, but I won't run from it. I'll obey the word. You cross me, I'm going to rebuke you. If you repent, I'm going to restore you. Amen? But anger shows people our boundaries. It's a God-given creation. Don't pray, God, take this anger from me. That's saying, God, recreate me. You blew it the first time. You say, God, help me to control my anger. Help me to channel it. Help me to use it. Amen? Help me to not sin in my anger. Paul told the Ephesians, be angry. It's okay. But don't sin in it. Be angry, but sin not. You don't need to be recreated. You just need to grow up. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, who are our enemies? Look at verse 44. Jesus put it right in there, made it easy for us. Amen? He said, but I say unto you, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see that in verse 44? Sometimes some will look at me like a frog in a hailstorm. And I don't know if you're getting it. He said, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. So there's our enemies right there. The people who curse us. I'm acquainted with being cursed. People who hate us. Anybody here acquainted with being hated because you won't back off your Pentecostal beliefs? Amen. Bless those who use us. We've all been used. And persecute us because of our stand on the precious, holy, written Word of God. What was that guy's name? He used to be a professional wrestler. He was the governor of Minnesota. And he said, Creel, Jesse Ventura, big, strong man like that, afraid of Christianity. He said, Christianity's for the weak. It's a crutch. And I said, Jesse's afraid to walk in love. It's what it is. He's afraid it won't work. Big, strong, strapping man like him. He's afraid to walk in love towards his enemies. He turned his back on Christianity. Well, I'll say it again. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. It's not a crutch. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. And it'll strengthen you. It'll mature you. It'll grow you up real quick if you walk according to the word. Amen? So that's who our enemies are. And I'm sorry to have to tell you today, the biggest problem you're going to have walking in love is not going to be towards other towards unbelievers in the world. It's going to be towards other believers, other Christians who don't believe the way you do. They don't see it the way you do. They don't believe it the way that you do, and they want you to know it. Baby Christians are going to be your biggest challenge all of your Christian life. Your biggest persecutors, they're going to express the most hatred. They're going to curse you more than the people in the world will. That's just a fact. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm trying to bring people up. That's the way it is. So don't think it's unusual when other people persecute you for your faith. Other believers persecute you for where you go to church. Over there, that faith guy. That guy get up out of one of our services right here in the Holiday Inn one time and walked out the door and said, you big mouth preacher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was awful. Hallelujah. And I just thought, you big baby, guess who just manifested? That was the devil. Amen. Didn't want that guy to get a hold of walking in love and walking in faith. Didn't want that guy to get a hold of the blessings of Abraham. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said to Abraham, he said, I'll bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And the Bible says in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us in abundance as believers in Jesus Christ. The same thing God promised Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. That same thing God promised Abraham, he promised to you. God told Abraham, somebody comes against you, they come against me and I'll deal with them. Not you, me. And God's telling you the same thing today. People come against you. People come in here, come against us in these services. I just say to Bob Rafter, God have mercy on them. Because they did that to God. They didn't do that to me. They didn't do that to all of us. They did it to God. And God said, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. Place themselves under a curse. People come against you. When you're walking in love, like Jesus said to walk in love, when you bless those who curse you, when you bless those and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, God said, when they come against you, if they won't repent, I'll judge them. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. He tells our persecutors, judge yourselves in order that I'll not have to judge you. The reverse application is apparent. We've been talking about it for 3 weeks. The judgment of God. The reverse application is apparent. When people come against us, if they don't judge themselves and repent, God will judge them. But it's not our job to judge them, as in punish them for what they do. Our job is to continue to walk in love. Our job is to continue to treat them with dignity and respect. And if they don't repent and judge themselves, God will judge them. And they won't like that when that happens. But what the devil's trying to get us to do when he attacks us and persecutes us and hates us and curses us through other people is to get us to react in the flesh so he can cut off the blessings of Abraham. Everything God promised Abraham, God promises to us. Prosperity, health, long life, abundance. Everything God's promised Abraham, he promises to us. But Paul told the Galatians, faith worketh, finish it for me. Faith works by love. The devil knows if he can get you to turn that love switch off, you turn the blessing switch off, you turn the blessing of Abraham switch off, you turn the faith switch off, and you turn the trouble switch on. Keep the faith, the switch of faith turned on. Amen. The faith, the switch, however you want to say it. Keep it turned on by walking in love. That's why Jesus emphasized walking in love towards your enemies. And how many times have I said this? Sometimes the best way you can walk in love towards someone is to avoid them. Avoid them. Sometimes the only thing you can do to walk in love towards some belligerent human beings is to just avoid them at all costs. You can no longer afford the luxury of strife and division and conflict if you want the blessings of Abraham to flow into your life. Amen? I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God. Amen? Pastor, I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm supposed to love people who curse me, who hate me, who use me and persecute me. No, you're not supposed to love them. No, you're not supposed to love them. You're supposed to love them, pray for them, and do good to them. Don't limit it just to love. Amen? Hallelujah. You're supposed to love them. Pray for them. How am I supposed to love my enemies? Or you're born again. You big baby. You're born again. The Bible says the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is what? Love. God is love. And Genesis 1:26 says that you've been created in God's image and in God's likeness. That means if you're born again, you've been created in God's image and in God's likeness and God's love, so you're created in love. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, the old hateful use passed away, and the new love you has showed up on the scene, whether you've been cooperating with it or not. It's in there. The Spirit of God now dwells in you. God is love, and you've been created in His image and in His likeness. I quoted for you 3 or 4 times this evening. Ephesians 5:1, where Paul said, as children of God, be imitators of Him thereof. And the Amplified Bible says, copy Him and imitate Him. He's love, so copy His love. Imitate His love. Did God walk in love towards you? Ephesians 5:1, if you're looking for it. Did God walk in love towards you when you were His enemy? Didn't He? In Romans 5:8, the Bible says, for God commendeth His love towards us. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God was walking in love towards us when we were living a life of hatred and cursing and cussing and rebellion and unbelief and acting like the devil, God, and we all were. We all had the nature of the devil, Ephesians 2:2, before we came to Christ, before we got our new nature. And God walked in love towards us, and we're to imitate God. Amen. You can do this. The Bible says, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Amen. That's 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this earth. Is Jesus walking in love? Well, then we ought to be walking in love too. We can do it as he is. His love nature is on the inside of us. The scriptures I gave you were 1 John 4:8. You good students, write them down. Genesis 1:26. You look them up later. Galatians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1. Thank you. Romans 5:5. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost has been given to you. Romans 5:8. God commend his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 4:4, greater is he who's in the world, he who's in us, than he who's in the world. In 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. He is a love king. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is King of Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You go look at that in Revelation chapter 1. It says that he is Lord of Lords, capital L Lord of small L Lords. We're the Lords he's Lord of. He is King of Kings, capital King of small K Kings. Do you see that? We are kings and lords in this earth, but only as we walk in love. Love is where the power is at, baby. Amen. Walking in love. I'm not saying you have to lay down and be a doormat and allow people to abuse you, because you don't. You can resist people when they come against you. You can withstand them, but with dignity and respect. Otherwise, Jesus was wrong when he said in Luke 17:3 and 4, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, restore him. He's a God of order. He said, let everything be done decently and in good order. He doesn't want folks shoving you around. On an individual level or on a national level. God allows us to defend ourselves against our enemies. He does. But I thought Mark 11:25 and 24 and 25 says, when you stand, pray and forgive, or your Father won't forgive you. Yeah, he was talking about forgiving people who sin against you unintentionally in Mark 11:24 and 25. Write it in your notes. Look at it later. In Mark 11:24 and 25, he was saying, if people sin against you unintentionally, we all get hurt unintentionally by people who didn't mean to hurt us. And we do when we say things. I just did something recently that hurt Betty's feelings, but I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. And she just let it go. Didn't make a big deal out of it. Just forgive. Amen? When somebody sins and comes against you unintentionally, let it go. Mark 11:24-25, forgive or the Father won't forgive you. But then over in Luke 17:3 and 4, he said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Well, which is it? Let it go or rebuke him? It's both. If someone sins against you unintentionally, offends you unintentionally, and you know they didn't mean it, let it go. But if they sin against you deliberately, they do it on purpose, Jesus said, rebuke them. And if they repent, restore them. And until they repent, you're not obligated. The ball's in their court. And if they don't judge themselves, God will judge them. Your job is to just treat them with dignity, treat them with respect, walk in love toward them, and if you have to, walk away from them. Stay away from them. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. There's rewards for walking in love. Amen? Didn't Jesus say over there, as you're going to 1 Peter chapter 3, didn't Jesus say over there in Matthew chapter 5, he said, what reward do you have if you love people who love you only? Inferring or implying there's rewards for walking in love. There are no rewards if you only walk in love toward people who walk in love towards you, but there's rewards if you walk in love toward people who don't walk in love towards you. What rewards? The blessing of Abraham. Remember, we're talking about the blessing of Abraham here. The devil's trying to get you in strife and get you to take offense through other people so that you'll turn the love switch off, and in doing so, you turn the faith switch off, and when you turn the faith switch off, you turn the blessing of Abraham switch off. Oh, it's so important that we walk in love. Amen? Hallelujah. Look right here, 1 Peter chapter 3. You get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's another way you can walk in love toward people when they curse you and persecute you and use you. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, talking to the family, be pitiful, be courteous. Some people are so discourteous, even in the presence of the pastor, I must say, it blows me away. Some people are so discourteous to one another, and even to me. Can you imagine someone being discourteous to me? We deal with it all the time. You wonder, do you have any respect at all for the things of God? For the offices of God? For the Spirit of God? The Word of God? The way people have spoken to me, and the way I hear others, Christian people speak, the way I hear some husbands and wives speak to one another. The way I hear myself speak to Barbara sometimes. And I just immediately say, whoops, you just forgive me for that. I shouldn't have spoken that way. That was harsh. I'm wrong. Amen? You paying attention up here? I said, even I have to repent to my wife. And Barbara, we get into it. Our love walk is challenged just like anybody else's love walk. And when it is, Barbara, I told you in the past, is the first one to come crawling to me on her hands and knees. And you know what she says to me? Get out from under that bed and repent like a man. And I do, too, don't I? Hallelujah. I say, yes, ma'am. And can I get your beverage while I'm up? Look, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Somebody speaks to you, treats you with evil, don't respond with evil. I had a pastor not too long back, right here on Cape Cod, sent me the most... A Cape Cod pastor sent me the most insulting hate email anyone's ever sent me. A pastor on Cape Cod told me how evil I am. I don't even know the brother. And I had to make the decision to not exchange evil for evil and railing for railing, because I saw the devil's trying to cut off the blessings of Abraham through that brother, and I'm not going to let it happen. I almost did. I was almost ready to give up everything for one thing. I was almost ready to show up on his doorstep and tell him, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, Bucky boy. What I'm about to do to you is unscriptural. As a matter of fact, it's a sin. And when I'm through with you, I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and he will. And Barbara said, you don't want to do that. I said, you're right, baby doll. I had to just let it go. The devil was trying to get me to give up everything for one thing. I wanted to give him a fivefold ministry blessing. I had a right. I had a right! I had a left, too, and I wanted to give him both of them. I have to deal with my flesh, too. Jesus had to deal with his flesh, too. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. When God calls someone to a ministry office, he doesn't unmake the man or unmake the woman. I'm as human as anybody else. I have to deal with this too. Amen. I have to put my feet where I tell you to put your feet every day. I have to deal with my flesh every day. And not exchange evil for evil in verse 9. Or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. That's what I chose to do. I said, I bless that brother in Jesus' name. Knowing that ye are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing. when someone curses you, open your mouth and say, I bless you. I bless him. I bless her. And if you lose it at first and cuss them out, ask God to forgive you. He will. First, I'm not condoning cussing. I'm saying we're human beings. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall down. And God's not nearly as concerned with the falling down as He is with the getting up. You're going to get up and hit it again and start blessing them? 1 John 1:9, God, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. It's a tough thing to do, but we can do it. Because greater is He who's in us than he who's in the world. Exchange blessing for cursing. Blessing for railing that you may inherit a blessing. What blessing? What blessing? The blessings of Abraham. You know when that guy wrote that brother, God bless him. God bless his darling, dumb, ignorant of Scripture heart. When he wrote that to me, he wrote that to God. And of course, I've come to have compassion for him. Realizing that poor brother so lacks confidence in his calling. He's so lacking confidence that God told him to be here to pastor that all he can do is to be hateful to other pastors because he's intimidated they might drive him off. I'm not going to drive anybody off. We need more good pastors here on Cape Cod. Hallelujah. I'm not the only one God called here. Amen. The Lord said to me one time, I've shared this with you before, I can't keep you here much longer. He said, if you only knew like I knew, like I know. This is what He said to me. Spoke these words into my spirit. If you only knew like I know, the things that happen to people that make them the way that they are, you would have nothing but compassion for them. I melted. Amen. And I said, now I understand Barbara. Now you understand me. Hallelujah. That poor fella, I would never do that. You know why I'd never do something like that to another pastor? Because I'm confident in my calling. I know what God told me to do. Nobody can stop it. John the Baptist said, no man can receive anything. John 3:27, he said, no man can receive anything except it be given him from heaven. God put me here. Nobody can fire me because nobody hired me. I work for God. God told me to come here and not to be a failure. He told me to come here and be a success. I don't have to be intimidated by the other pastors. And I grieve when they're intimidated by us because I know what they're going through. Amen? So, hallelujah. So we bless them. We bless them. We open our mouths. It's so simple. We open our mouths concerning our enemies and we just say, we bless them, Lord. That's what Peter said to do. Exchange blessing for cursing. Let's practice concerning our enemies. Say, I bless you. Now say it like you mean it. I bless you in Jesus' name. See, and that keeps the faith switch turned on. That's keeping the love switch turned on. That's keeping that's opening the spot where the blessing of Abraham comes out. I bless you. I bless you. I know when I've sinned against Barbara because I hear her say, I bless you. I say, Hallelujah. A guy in Las Vegas. Hallelujah. We're out there preaching for him. For this man, and he had a thriving church. I want you to know, you can't afford the luxury of living in strife with anybody. None of us can anymore as believers if we want to see the blessing of Abraham. Amen? If people come against us, we bless them. Just like we just sat here and did. I bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. You know when you say, God bless you, you know what you're really saying? You're saying, God, you're asking God to bless them. That's what the word bless means. To make them whole in every realm of their existence. Spirit, soul, and body. In every realm of their existence. You're asking God to bring them back to the foot of the cross. You're asking God to bring them to repentance. You're asking God to restore them and make them whole. When you say, I bless you. When you say, God bless you. It's more than Gesundheit. It's asking God to make someone whole. That's how you bless your enemy, by literally saying, I bless you. And if they won't judge themselves, God will judge them. And they won't like that. But it's not our job to do that. Amen? I preached for a guy out in Las Vegas, Nevada one time. He had a big church, a nice, thriving, growing church. He asked me to preach for him. And we preached. We went in there. And his people weren't used to the type of preaching that we preach here, the word of faith, positive message. He's kind of a negative guy. And we went in there and we fired them up to faith. We brought their faith level up. It was the church where we saw that man with those crippled arthritic knees healed in the 24-hour period. He was lifting those knees and running around that church building. And he had been walking like a mummy for years. And those people were fired up. He took up an offering for us. And he said to the people, everything you put in this offering basket's going to Brother Hamill. Give generously. It's all going to Brother Hamill. Well, took up the offering. Service ended. We're at his office waiting for secretary to come out. They asked us to wait after the service. He boogied out of town. We found out why later. His secretary come out and she said, we just took up the largest offering this church ever took up. He couldn't believe how much money those people gave to this ministry. And she said, he said, that's too much money to give you. And I said, but he told those people everything that went in the basket was coming to us. And she said, I know, and I'm sorry. And they gave us $500. And she said, it was the biggest offering this church ever took up. And that pastor said, it was too much money. And I stood there, and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to me, and I said it to Barbara, he'll close his doors within 5 years because of this, if he doesn't judge himself. To make a long story short, we just kept blessing him. We just kept blessing him. We weren't going to get in strife with him. A couple of months short of 5 years, his congregation just folded. And another woman in town took it over and absorbed it into her congregation. Just like the Lord said. He refused to judge himself and God had to judge him. Just like God told me he would. The Lord said to me, and it proved out. I said it to my wife 5 years ahead of time. Within 5 years, he'll close his doors because of this, if he doesn't repent. 2 or 3 months short of 5 years, he closed his doors. God judged him because he wouldn't judge himself. My point is, people come against us. We don't have to retaliate. We don't have to get punitive. We bless, and we'll keep the blessing of Abraham flowing to us. If they don't judge themselves, God indeed will judge them. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 12 real quick before we go. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Been having a problem walking in love towards people who maybe cursed you, hateful to you. Maybe you've been dealing with a little bit of unforgiveness. You need to get free tonight. Amen? God will take care of the offending party. That's not your job. That's not my job. Amen? It's no longer an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. If you hang on to bitterness and resentfulness, the Bible says you could lose your mind. You could lose your mind. Why should you pay for that problem? Amen? It's no longer an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what Jesus was telling the Jews. God doesn't want it that way anymore. If he did, we'd have nothing but a bunch of crazy, toothless, blind people. All right, so it didn't go over. I can handle it. I've been humiliated before, and I will be again. Romans 12. You're a little late, Maurice. Where were you when I needed you? Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, meaning step aside and let it go past you when it comes, and it'll come. You know, God said no weapon formed against you will prosper. He never said weapons wouldn't be formed. He said they'll be formed and they won't prosper. Give place to wrath. Step aside, let it blow right past you, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Isn't that what he told Abraham? I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. People come against you, they come against the Spirit of God. Let God deal with them. Amen? You just keep blessing them. I'm going to show you another thing you can do in a minute. As a matter of fact, let's stop there. And for time's sake, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Something that you can pray over your enemies. I've shared this many times in the past with those who come here regularly. But we're going to share it again with you tonight. I want to send you home with this. Amen. In ministry, boy, I'll tell you, you're an open target for slander, false accusation, and just, you know, basic hatred. Amen? It comes with the territory. I found that some people think because as a pastor I have to stand on the Scripture, and I do stand on the Scripture, they act like I wrote it. And I tell them, I'm good, but I'm not that good. I didn't write it. I just stand on it for your benefit. Amen? People come against you in ministry, boy, do hateful things, go off saying all kinds of goofy things about us that aren't true. We have found one verse of Scripture that'll turn them around practically every time that we pray for our persecutors. We bless them and we pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, are you there? Look at verse 10. I have to give you the abbreviated version because we need to dismiss here in a minute. Amen? For godly sorrow, please say godly sorrow, worketh repentance to salvation or deliverance, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow works repentance, but the sorrow of the world works death. Paul's talking about two kinds of sorrow here. We'll talk about the second one first, briefly. The sorrow of the world that works death. The sorrow of the world isn't sorrowful that they did something wrong. They're sorrowful they got caught. But they're not sorry that they did it. But godly sorrow is the kind of sorrow that's sorry for having done wrong. It's compunction. Amen? Paul is telling the Corinthians here, when people wrong us, if we will pray a simple prayer, thank you, Father, for granting them sorrow to repentance, in Jesus' name, God will use that to turn them around. We have had more people repent through that prayer. One woman called me up one day. She used to beat her husband up. And she called me one day and said, now it's my turn. And she said, I'm coming over and I'm going to beat the wahoozy out of you. Wahoozy, my word. She used a stronger word. She said, I'm on my way over. It's your turn. You're getting it now. She's coming to beat me up. Didn't she? Hallelujah. Now, I wasn't afraid of her, but I did get another man in the church to come before she came to have a witness there. Because she was bonkers. She used to whip up on him. And I figured she's going to start throwing punches at me. I don't need to be throwing punches back at her. Well, she never did show. She never showed. This is a church woman who came to our church. She came to our church. Where did these people come from? She never did come. We never heard from her for the longest time until she called me one morning crying in tears months later. And I said, Patty, what's wrong? And she said, I have to tell you, I had a dream last night and I saw Jesus come back on his white horse and all the saints with him, all riding on their white horses. And she said, I saw thousands and thousands and thousands. I saw all kinds of people I knew, all kinds of people I didn't know, riding back to the earth with Jesus at his second coming. And they came and they came and I saw family and I saw friends and I saw you and I saw others from the church. And they all came and then they were gone and I didn't see myself. And she said, I cried out and said, Jesus, why wasn't I riding with you? And he said, because you need to ask Pastor Hamill to forgive you. She got right on the horn, baby. It was as real as me looking at Biddy right now to her. Amen? He was giving her a chance to judge herself before she had to be judged. Amen? Well, glory be to God. Godly, so we have prayed godly sorrow for her is my point. For months we prayed that for her. We've been praying it for some people for years. If you'll just continue to thank God that godly sorrow is working in your persecutors for what they've done to you in Jesus' strong... Didn't he say in John 16:23, whatever you ask the Father for in my name, he will do it? particularly if you've got scripture for it. You've got no basis for approaching God unless you approach Him with scripture. Here's a scripture you can go to Him with and say, Father, I ask that You would grant so-and-so godly soul and bring him to repentance in Jesus' name. And while I'm waiting, I bless him in Jesus' strong name, and I'm keeping my faith, the switch turned on. My switch of faith turned on, however you say it. Say it backwards, say it forward, just do it. Keep the switch of love turned on. Open the spout where the blessings of Abraham come out by walking in love and blessing your persecutors. Amen. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to do, but you